getting the job done at stud. He's a sire of 26 starters in his first crop, 16 have won, and 6 others have placed. That's 22 to win a place from his first 26 starters. He's a sire of Dancing in the Circle, winner of the $100,000 By the Light Stakes, and placed in the Grade 3 Arlington, Washington Lassie. Of Blonde Fog, winner of her first start by 12.5 lengths at Santa Anita, then second in the Grade 1 $500,000 Hollywood Lassie. Of Come On Baby Light My Fire, never off the board in 5 starts and stakes placed twice in Canada. Divine Ambition, winner of his debut by 8 lengths, second in last Saturday's Rushaway Stakes at Turfway, also placed in the Pasco Stakes at Tampa. Of Super Divine, winner first time out in a maiden special at the fairgrounds on March 15th. Divine Happiness, winner of her debut at the fairgrounds by 9.5 lengths in a maiden special. And the list just keeps growing. Winner of the Grade 1 Metropolitan, the Grade 3 Withers, and the Grade 3 Westchester. Divine Park is one of 29 stakes winners from the first 3 crops of the only 3 crops by Chester House. And he stands for $10,000 live foal at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Crocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center. We have foggy morning, so, well, it was a little difficult doing some clocking today, but it finally lifted and got something done.
Well, and some people could see better from the other side of the track because we were looking into the sun in the fog. That's a lot harder.
Right.
So, anyway, there you are. I forgot about fog, to tell you the truth. I was real surprised. We haven't had fog in, what?
Long time.
10 months, 8 months, something
Susie,
like that.
Susie, it's the first day you've had to contend with fog, and uh-huh. Susie the clocker. Anyway,
started to say outrider.
Well, she used to be an outrider,
yeah.
for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Add a zero behind that couple.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we're doing pretty good out of here. We've had 43 winners so far this month. We've got 2 more days of racing, so I'm sure we'll add to that. Let's see. Since last week's show, Tommy Short won one. He worked a bunch this morning. Brian Kane, Jimmy Cargan. Fired up another one last night, Tracy Young and Tim Shue. Tracy's runs at the swimming pool over right behind the training center here where you can go swim your horse. And excellent facility. And they do a lot of they swim a lot of yearlings over there, getting them ready for the sale, believe it or not. And that's one of their busiest months coming up to that September sales, 2 or 3 months prior to that sales. But what are we going to do today? Dan Metzger's coming in. He's the president of Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, formerly worked for the Breeders' Cup.
Okay.
He was general manager of Kaywood Ledford Productions. I want to talk to him a little bit about that because we just love Kaywood.
Yeah.
Past president of the Turf Publishers of America. Never met Dan, don't believe.
Okay.
Sometimes, I just don't believe I've ever met him. Paths just haven't crossed in all these years. And he's been...
Well, he might be young.
Well, he's been with Tobor since 99, I believe
right.
it was. Something
yeah.
like that, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Dr. Doug Byers is going to come in. And as usual, Michael Blowen. They're running the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby today, among other Derby preps, and we're going to get in touch with Steve Moody, and he's going to give us the winner.
For sure.
Yeah. Let's see. Of course, we've got Jackie's announcements, and I'll do a little history if I have a shot.
A lot of
one. And let's see. Let me remind you now. Tomorrow is the Daily Racing Form's breeding edition. Comes out with the Sunday form. And, of course, that's headed up by our old friend Mark Simon and Mary. And tomorrow's edition, they've got a Keeneland Spring Preview. They've got an article in there about what makes a good polytrack sire. And I'd be interested to read that.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, that should be very
good.
I started out
saying that it was turf horse sires.
It may be lean. I'm going to read. I think that there is a connection there a little bit. What I can see, but I don't know. Maybe I can learn something. Santa Anita Derby winners as sires. John Sparkman has written an article about that, and John's a very knowledgeable guy. I've known John for many years. Lives in Tennessee now.
Does he really? Where they don't have state income tax. Keep going.
They double up on us here.
I know.
They've got not only a state income tax, but a sales tax.
Yeah.
Oh, well. There's Glennie Keane Oxford has written an article on Ted Bassett.
Oh, nice.
Got an interview with Ted. I'm looking forward to reading that. Ted is 91. And gee whiz.
You ought to get Ted to come on out.
I wonder if I could get him. I had him on the show
a
couple of years ago. Well, I've had him on there twice, I think. But, you know, Ted's always got something to talk about.
Exactly. You got to call him up.
Old Marine.
Yep.
Ted is. And World War II vet. And there's an article in there, the Keeneland, in the Daily Racing Form magazine tomorrow now, about the hot sire. And that would be Midnight Loot, written by Patrick Reed. So be sure to buy that tomorrow. You know, the Daily Racing Form, just go to your newsstands and down in Paris, the station, what is that BP station down there carries Racing Form, so you can pick one.
Oh, down on Main Street.
Right on Main Street.
Yeah.
Where we go all the time.
Right next to Woodford Spears, and what's on the other, wait a minute, across from the cemetery.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how you find it. Go and look for some of your old relatives.
Some old punters buried down in there. Who are you waving at?
Oh, Michael and Doc.
Michael and Doc?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Why don't you give the winners and then, or did you?
I just did.
Oh.
Yeah, the 43 winners so far.
That's
great. With 2 more months.
Yeah.
Of racing. Each of racing this month.
I'll tell you what. I read that Beulah Park and River Downs cannot come to an agreement. They're going to have to scrap that summer meet at River Downs unless
I haven't seen it. Where'd you read that, Jackie?
I don't know.
You're on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, it's online, but I can't remember where. Oh, I know what it was. I get an email from, I think it's KTOB, and they'll have stories, about 8 or 10 sort of news stories, like that tainted Purina feed, horse feed in California was on there.
Plug for Purina.
Well, I'm sorry, it's California. I can't help you. But not here.
Yeah.
But no, it's tainted. It is poisoned.
Wow.
Yes, and they're recalling like mad. But anyway, there was a follow-up on the California thoroughbred otter breeders. And that's where it was. It was in those kind of headline things. And I didn't read much into it. But
I hadn't heard anything at all about that.
Well.
Yeah. I know they've torn up the grandstand. I hate that.
Yeah. River Downs is gone. But they were supposed to work out a deal where they could run their summer meet at Beulah. And it doesn't look good at this point.
No.
So.
Well, that's too bad. Here comes our boys up the hill.
Right. To the. Okay. The old clocker stand.
The old clocker stand, Dr. Byers. I can't wait to talk to him today.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I've got something I got to say to him. I'm going to tease him a little bit.
That'll work. Byers.
And of course, and Michael, you know how he is. Anyway, let's see. Well, it takes him a while to get in here. They usually stop out front and start talking.
Stop and talk to absolutely.
Everybody up there.
Everybody there.
Yeah. We went down to Cynthiana yesterday, and buying a tractor down there, and Doc had been in there. I want to talk to Doc about that.
Yeah. What? Joe? Yes. Hayden.
Yeah, Hayden Equipment.
Yeah. Cynthia and nice people. He and his wife are the whole place, are the business. I mean, he has mechanics and stuff.
Come right on in, Doc.
Hey.
You too, Michael. I guess you're coming in.
Is it that one back?
Sit down, Doc. I've got a question. I've found out something about you. Sit down here. I want to talk to you for a second.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It, I understand. There you go. Michael's got my racing form already.
They sold out today at the Midway Corner Grocery. I couldn't get one.
Is that right? I'll rent you that one.
Okay. How much?
$10.
Love it.
I understand that you're buying some kind of new vehicle to ride around in.
Well, I'm going to drag race on Main Street.
All right. What is this? Get up there closer to that thing.
Yeah.
We happened to be down in Cynthiana yesterday talking to Joe Hayden down there, and he said you'd been in there.
Yeah. He said, I can't drive, so I'm immobile. So I bought one of those Kubotas from Joe.
Okay.
And so I've been using it. It's handy. And that's it.
He drives up and down the Ironworks Pike picking up everybody else's trash.
Well, I tell you what, I thought he bought it for. I was just picturing him puttering up the Ironworks Pike just so he wouldn't have to depend on you for a ride.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. No matter how much you do for people, it's never enough.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what happened, Doc.
Yeah.
When I found out that you had bought something from Hayden down there, Joe Hayden, I said, I know how tight the Doc is, how close he is with the dollar. So I know he got a hell of a deal. So we went down and bought a tractor.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That Joe, what a salesman. This is fabulous.
I know.
Well, and so, I take exception to him being tight. I find him to be a very generous human being with both his time and his money.
Susan pretty much cancels out everything. So, well, at least you didn't get a big, big tractor.
Those things are... I imagine pretty handy to get around on.
They are, and so.
Did you know Hayden's before that, or did somebody recommend it to you?
Carl Lumley took me out there.
Ah, yeah. Well, he would know.
Yeah. So
Carl's a builder.
Wonderful. We got a great deal.
We got a good. Good. We thought was a good deal too. Yeah.
I got a so-so deal.
Did you?
Well, I'll tell you what I like about it. They don't. They're not 10 miles from where we live.
Uh-huh.
And it's he and his wife, and you feel like if something goes wrong, I can pick up the phone. Or if I got a question, what's this thing for?
Oh, Joe's a good guy. I bought that. We shopped around a little bit, and
I figured that.
And so I was going to use those retirement horses of old friends and hitch them up to a harness, and
there you go.
But I couldn't get
that. I like that idea.
I can see old Gaijin pulling you now.
Yeah.
He can still pull pretty fast.
All right. Well, let me take a break and we'll get back to you guys. Well, March 23rd at Aqueduct, the Grade 3 Excelsior Handicap was won by Last Gunfighter. I love that name, the Last Gunfighter. He's a 4-year-old colt of First Samurai. On March 22 in Louisiana, the Gold Coast Stakes went to Caminari, a 4-year-old filly, also by First Samurai. That same day, Baffle Me by First Samurai won the feature allowance race at Gulfstream. The day before, Justin Phillip by First Samurai, of course, he's won stakes, won the feature allowance race at Oak Lawn Park. Now add My First Samurai, winner March 23rd of a starter allowance at Santa Anita, and Our Fast Frog, winner March 21 of a starter allowance also at Santa Anita, and you have, in 3 days of racing, 2 stakes winners, including a graded stakes winner, 2 winners of feature races, and 2 winners of starter allowance races, all at major tracks, all sired by First Samurai. The Last Gunfighter's win in the Grade 3 Excelsior was his 5th consecutive and his 3rd stakes win. He just gets improving with every start. First Samurai, Grade 1 stakes winner by Giant's Causeway, is at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Kodiak Cowboy had speed, Eclipse Award-winning speed. He earned his Eclipse Award by winning the Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 1 Carter, and the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. He was champion sprinter. He's also been a champion two-year-old. He won the Grade 2 Saratoga Special, the Grade 3 Bashwood Manor at Churchill, and Woodbine's Victoria Stakes, and his venture south resulted in the Servant Award as champion two-year-old colt in Canada. Kodiak Cowboy also won the Grade 2 Amsterdam at Saratoga and the Grade 3 Sport Page at Aqueduct, placed in seven more stakes, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. During his career, he posted triple-digit buyer speed figures at 6 furlongs, 6.5 furlongs, 7 furlongs, 7.5 furlongs, and a mile. Kodiak Cowboy sire Posse was the nation's leading freshman sire in 2007 with a record-breaking 7 2-year-old stakes winners. So look for Kodiak Cowboy's 2-year-old to come out running. He stands at Windstar Farm for $6,500. Doing the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. See the website, windstarfarm.com. Righty. Well, I've got Michael Blowen with a nose in the racing form over here and Dr. Doug Byard. We'll just let him read the racing form, Doc, and we'll talk to you. What do you got going for you today?
Well, I don't really have anything too official.
Well,
I thought
doesn't have to be official.
Here's the latest scientific journal publication. And they had two articles here that I thought were interesting because they basically say that lesions you find on bone in these foals, radiographic leaders, don't have, they all work out.
Don't mount too much.
Don't, yeah.
Outgrow them, in other words.
Yeah, and so these radiographic findings, by the time they're two-year-olds, they race fine. So we don't see the go-to-pieces at the yearling sales. This one's no good. This one's no good, you know.
Yeah.
You know, buy them and let them go.
Well, you see, the ball, what that boils down to is you don't need a vet. Uh-oh, he glanced there.
I tell you what, I don't do the extra in, and I don't go to the sales.
Yeah, you don't go to the
I
sales.
I don't go to the sales.
You smart know, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, but anyway, then they
it's not run yet.
Find where they, some of these sport horses that get hock lesions.
Now they'd be older horses.
Be older horses, and they don't really have that much significance. You can see the lesion, but it doesn't seem to bother them. They're sound.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got to go to pieces that maybe the veterinarians have out there, and but anyway, we got a lot of that, and then driving around and. Looking at some cattle, you know, that I've had, and I got to thinking about some of the things they've got. And so, you know, what is pole evil and fistulous withers?
Okay.
They come from cattle. And so you have brucellosis is the organism. Very, very uncommon to have horses get them, but they can get them. And then it's hard as hell to clean them up.
So sometimes they'll even have to have surgery on them, but they get the fistulous withers.
Okay. Describe. What does it look like? I don't believe I've
seen it. Well, a pole weevil is a great big old pole. It's a boil. Yeah.
Right.
And the withers is basically a pus pocket over the withers. And it might be that they transfer it because of tack or riding, and then the brucella.
Yeah.
And then same with the contaminated bridle path. So anyway, we see those fairly. But it is now the significance is that it's ugly and doesn't seem to bother the horse that bad, but it can be a headache. But then brucellosis is significant in humans. So we get undulant fever if a person gets, and again goes back to cattle, and a person can get fevers and get intermittently pretty sick.
Mm.
And so and can get in milk, so people will wind up getting the undulant fever.
Yeah.
And they'll have to be treated, and not very easily. It's pretty unsuccessful for some people. Some people have undulant fever most of their lives. They, you know, and undulant because it subsides and then it comes back, and some. So
what would a person take for it?
You know, they used a lot of the tetracyclines now.
Okay.
And but it's hard to clean up because, you know, it gets in pockets and so. But people would get milk contaminated. So if you pick up a positive brucellosis, then you got to report that to the state, and then your dairy gets shut down.
Yeah.
Or in the old days, they'd put a big B on the cow's jaw, and they'd go to slaughter.
Oh.
And but with the horse, we don't have any regulations, not frequent enough, but it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So again, undulant fever, and if you had a herd of cows, or and you see a pole weevil or a fistulous wither on a horse, pretty much know what he's got, what's going on, and then you know those cattle are carrying it.
Yeah.
So it becomes a significant deal.
Huh. Yeah, well, that's nothing I'd ever even heard of, really.
Yeah, right. Well,
that's what you get for reading these fancy medical things.
Well, I was thinking about bots in their stomach, you know, getting bot flies. And when they break through the stomach lining, then you wind up getting what we call warbles in the horse.
Yeah.
So that pupae migrates to the skin and makes a little air hole.
Yeah, we had one of those.
Ones. Yeah, and when you
creep,
yeah, you get them over it, but if they die in the skin, then it can get an anaphylactic reaction in the horse and, you know, cause some. Can kill them.
Yeah.
So, but very rare. Yeah, very rare.
Those old horses of mine, they're going to outlive me.
Well, we need to figure a way to inoculate Michael.
Okay. You know, I had
to buy. I'm afraid it'd be an overdose.
Getting back to that tractor, I had to buy a new one because my old Ford, it was a 1980 Ford. 1700, finally spit out the gentleman that took care of it for me for years.
Uh-huh.
Kept it running. Did a wonderful job. He's too sick now to do it.
Uh-huh.
And he's a little bit older than me. So that'll tell you something. One of the few. And so we had to buy a new one. And then You know, I was hoping that that tractor would at least he and I it would go as long as I did. You know, we'd have a dead heat when you know, or something when we died. You know, but it died before I did, so we had to go buy a new tractor. But I'd recommend Hayden's down there to anybody.
Now, what kind did you buy?
It's a 3800.
Kubota.
Kubota.
Yeah, I've got an old Kubota, and it's the best. It's been great.
I talked to our blacksmith, Connor McCarthy.
I know Connor.
Yeah, he's had one for 9 years, and he said he's never had a minute's problem with it. And I said, well, you know, he's tighter with a buck than you are. So I figured I'd better get a Kubota.
He uses, dollar bill or whatever for shoes.
All right. Let me take a break here and see what's going on. What's going on over at Old French?
Don't let Michael get a hold of that.
No, fat chance. Well, First Defense got a lot going for him. He's already demonstrated his ability to sire runners. Runners like Group Stakes winner Dun Donnell and the undefeated Close Hatches. She's headed to the Kentucky Oaks. He's got a great pedigree. He's been Bridal Song, who currently ranked fourth on the list of leading sires. He's out of the Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough to Empire Maker, the nation's second-ranked sire in 2012. And First Defense and Empire Maker share the same unbridled sire line. That's a tough pedigree to live up to, but First Defense got the job done by winning Grade 1 Stakes himself. Now add to that the fact that he's receiving strong backing from his breeder, Judmont Farm. Flute, Grade 1 winner, millionaire, and winner of the Kentucky Oaks is booked to him this year. So is Grade 1 winner Yasmak, and Grade 1 winner Price Tag, and Grade 1 producer True Flair. And multiple graded stakes winner Aviante, and Group 2 winner Dedana, and Group 1 producer Willstar. And the list is, believe me, nowhere complete. So take a look at First Defense. 7,500 live foal, because as stated earlier, he's got a lot going for him, including the backer of a breeder like Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Hey, horse racing fans, grab your smartphone and text HORSE to 84700 to get the coolest horse racing app ever. Horse Races Now delivers entries, results, live video, and replays to your phone fast. You can customize Horse Races Now to follow your favorite horses, jockeys, and trainers. It's like having the racing program to every racetrack right in your pocket. It's fun for kids and adults. Remember, text HORSE to 84700 to get your Horse Races Now. And watch for me on Horse Races Now. Message and data rates may apply.
Well, last Saturday at Turfway, the Grade 3 Bourbonette Oaks was won by Silcita, a 3-year-old filly by Macho Uno, and Agent Donazo, a 4-year-old colt by Goldsapper, bred by Will Farish, won the Bogota Stakes in Louisiana. Celestra, bred by Tanyerin Stable and trained by Todd Fletcher, defeated a full field in the Bourbonette. Behind her were such accomplished fillies as Grade 1 winner Pure Prize and Stakes winners Always Kitten, Martha's Moon. Agent Donazo, trained by Steve Margolis, missed the one-mile track record by just 2/5 of a second in the Bogota, his fifth win and first try in stakes. Mucho Uno, currently ranked 14th on the general sire list. He was 10th in 2012, has sired 6 stakes horses already this year. Ranked just above him on the sire list is Goldsapper. He sired 10 2013 stakes horses, 5 of them stakes winners. Macho Uno and Goldsapper stand at Adena Springs, home also of the nation's leading sire, Awesome Again. Also standing at Adena Springs, the proven graded stakes sire Giacomo, and the young stallions Einstein and Tiago. Giacomo, winner of the Kentucky Derby and of over $2,537,000, is a proven sire of graded stakes winners. Einstein, a 5 times Grade 1 winner, and he earned over $2,945,000. And Tiago, a multiple Grade 1 winner of over $2,358,000, have all the prerequisites to join their stable mates on the list of leading sires. For more information about the Adena Springs Stallions, contact Eric Hamelback at 859-987-1798 and see the website at adenaspringsstallions.com. Bumped into Eric Hamelback out at Keeneland the other night, and the only time I'd really ever seen Eric was sitting across from me here, like you are right now, and I really didn't recognize him at first because he's so tall.
Yeah, he's tall. He's big. He looks like a basketball player.
I know it. You know, I mean, I was looking him right in the eye here. I couldn't. He's got a crick in my neck looking at him.
He's one of my favorite people.
One of your favorite people, Doc?
One of the little guys.
He is a nice guy.
Yeah, and he every day he gives you, but you know what you expect him to give you. You know, he just great shooter and good horseman, and they don't come any better.
Well,
he's helped us a lot.
Has he really?
Oh yeah.
Well, that's another plus.
After Bobby Frankel died, he still had its season to Go Sapper, and they transferred the ownership of that season to Go Sapper to Old Friends.
Oh my goodness! Mm-hmm. That is wow. Yeah. Boy, that horse is doing good. You heard that? 13 stakes winners this year.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah. You know,
he's the Old Friends Karma.
He was an Old Friends Karma. I imagine it's the Dina Springs Fund Karma.
Yeah, I think maybe that's right.
Well, and they completely did that.
You're full of electricity this morning. Hey, let's go home. I should spark me twice over here.
Getting wild in here.
She'll be standing on the corner of her head again
he's
in a minute.
Delusional.
Turn off the Skype camera, please.
Go ahead.
Anyway, they just redid the Bourbon County High School football field.
Oh, it's brand new.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And on the ends, they've got the end zone all pretty and in the school colors. I mean, it looks like a professional football field. That's nice. Nice guys.
They're really nice. It's true.
Well, there's a lot of nice people in the business.
Yes.
They have
yes. Most of them show up at Old Friends. We had a nice meeting this week at the Lexington Humane Society. They had a lot of horse groups meeting to develop strategy and talk about grants. A lot of the granting institutions were there and told us. Mike Ziegler came and talked about the Thoroughbred Aftercare Program from the NTRA. I mean, it was really, really very, very helpful. And we got to meet each other and kind of see, well, you got this horse, and I got this horse, and you got any space, and you know, to exchange fundraising ideas. But it was all, you know, coordinated by the Humane Center out in near you in Paris, and the Lexington Humane Society. It was nice, very nice.
We got four cats from the Lexington Humane Society.
They tried to give me this cute little dog. I almost came home with a dog. A little dog. Cute little dog.
Your bride would have killed you.
Huh? No, she wouldn't. She might have killed me, but she would have kept the dog.
There's a graduate right down there in the cage. Susie's dog is a graduate from the Lexington Humane Society.
Excellent. That's how very well behaved. The woman who runs that's great. So that was really good. Getting a lot of people coming on tours now. This is really, really terrific. We got a nice donation from Dr. Simon, who's selling the vinery.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. One of his mares, a nice mare named Brent Marskay. She was Australian. She was 2-year-old champion in Australia. And there's an old mare. She's over at Mirfield now. And Dr. Simon's happy. And this was really nice because it was out there with Frances. And she... she said that she was going through some things at the vinery, and she pulled out one of the last stallion halters that Marquetry had, and she gave it to me.
Frances,
just really nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a nice girl.
Frances. Very nice.
Yeah. What's she doing now? We need to.
Yeah, have her come over. She. I don't know. She's working on things over at the vinery, and she was really, really helpful with this mare and. You know, it's such a beautiful farm. Geez.
You met her at our house.
Yes.
We've had her on the show several times. Pretty, somebody as pretty as that as she is, we have them all back off.
I'm trying to fix her up with Patrick if he ever gets home at the right time.
Oh, there you go. Hey, we can always have that as part of the service of this program. A little dating service, don't you think? Don't you think? I think that'd be a good idea.
Ferdinand's ball.
It's not at the. It's not at the Fraser this year. It's going to be at the Ali Center.
Oh, I have to change.
Where is this now?
The Ferdinand's ball before the Thursday before the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, but where is the?
It's going to go in the Ali Center in Louisville. The Ali Museum. It's going to be great.
Oh, I see.
It's going to be in that Leroy Neiman room, and we actually have a piece that Leroy Neiman did that we're going to be able to auction off. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Man. That should be.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be wild. The next couple of months, I'm telling you, this is going to be crazy.
Well, what are things going
here? Well, Dr. Alday has this party every year, the Saturday before the Derby, and for his clients. And this year he's decided to make it into a fundraiser for Old Friends.
Oh,
so that's really, that'll be nice. We got a very generous donation from Todd Pletcher this week. Wow. The Todd Pletcher Racing Stables, and that was really nice. Let's see, so we got that coming up. Of course, we'll have breakfast at the Works the third Saturday at Keeneland. We'll be bringing a horse over there for that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Who's going to take over this year?
I don't know. It depends on who's got the good disposition that week. Somebody cool. You know, we'll see. I'll ask Janet. She'll figure it out. So we got that coming up. Up in New York, the Hall of Fame has their Derby party on Derby Day, of course, and they broadcast the race and take bets over there at the big party area adjacent to the museum, and they do that as a fundraiser for the museum and for Old Friends. So that's really good. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I can't remember half of it, I'm sure.
That's good.
But get a lot of people coming in to visit and seeing these great old horses. We had three really nice women from the University of Wisconsin that came yesterday and came on a tour, and they made a donation to Old Friends and brought me a six-pack of Wisconsin beer. It was fabulous. Stevens Point Wisconsin beer, black lager. I've decided to make that into a prerequisite. If you want a special tour, it's got to sweeten the pot a little bit, especially if you come later in the day. So that was really good. And, you know, today's an exciting day of racing. Mark Bolesky's running again. Let's root for him, because every time he wins, Burton Jones sends a very generous check to Old Friends. So very nice. And, you know, you got the Florida Derby, and you got all the races over in Dubai. You got Royal Delta running in the big race over there. It's exciting.
The Dubai race has probably been run by now.
No, it's one. The big one's at 2:00 this afternoon.
Is it?
They're just ready to run the fourth.
And that's
when we left the house. Ready to run the fourth.
Just now.
No. Oh, they're ready to run it now.
And I think this. I think the big race is listed as the ninth.
Okay.
There's a horse in there who's going to go off it, who's 20-1 on the morning line. I can't imagine it, that he will go off at 20-1, but his name's Treasure Beach, and he might be part of the 10-cent super.
Okay.
Never know. And this is cool. River Downs, River Downs and selling the seats in the grandstand. They sold the grandstand. They sold 300 grandstand seats, and they sold them all like in 24 hours.
Really?
Yeah. And they sold them for $25 a piece, and they've donated all the proceeds to Old Friends.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll get one for you, so you'll have a big seat to sit in and be comfortable all the time. You can pretend you're at the racetrack.
Yeah,
I understand that there's going to be no racing at not over River Downs or Beulah Park. You know, this won't be anything. I don't know what they're going to do, run a thistle?
Yeah.
Let them take the dates or what?
I don't know. I haven't been following it that closely.
That's about all that's up there, isn't it?
I thought that the River Downs meet was going to move to Beulah, but that's not true. But
Jackie said she saw something. Come here, Jackie.
They can't get together on it. That's what I
read.
Oh,
that's a surprise.
Yeah. So there you are. They may work it out.
Yeah,
but,
they'll work
it
out.
Yeah. If it's enough money involved, they'll work it out.
Yeah, well, she sparked me again.
I'm trying to get up there on Monday. I want to go to Beulah Park on Monday. My friend Tony Chase is on our board of directors, has a horse running.
At Beulah?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful Beulah.
Monday.
Well, I tell you what, that's a trip.
I know.
Yeah, if you're running up there, you're desperate.
What do you mean? I beg your pardon. They help us a lot. They have an Old Friends Day up at Beulah.
Well, don't worry. Listen, I've made the trip several times.
Yeah.
I'm with you on River Downs. One of my favorite places to go to.
Oh, it was fun.
It was all great. Had a great ambiance.
And yes, and not only that, the brats were good, you know.
Yeah, and you could afford the beer. Good beer.
Yeah.
Really good local beer.
And parking was free. Admission was free. It was always a good crowd.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care when you went. It was always a nice crowd.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. And I love that little paddock at the head. You could right there, you know, and look at things. And I tell you what, for the purse money, you better be ready to run up there the purse money wasn't that good. Herb Jones told me that he spent one summer up there, and he was the second leading trainer for the whole meet. And he said, if it had been a toll on that bridge after the meet, I couldn't have got back to Kentucky.
Yeah. That's like racing in Massachusetts. Right. Very tough. Yeah. Very tough.
It's tough running.
But it's a lot of fun. And hopefully when they get the whole thing redesigned and the restaurant and the hotels in there and all this other kind of stuff, that they'll be able to even have, you know, better racing and a higher purses. So we'll see.
Here comes your man, Ken. Anyway, I hope they keep the tracks the same because they're really good tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
The grass course was good.
Oh, it was a great place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice people, too. The people that ran it, really nice.
Yeah. Who was the old gentleman ought to have grub here that he could tell me he knew them all up there that was a paddock judge for years and years and years? And really, best dressed man in racing, I believe. I mean,
really?
Oh man, he was splendid.
He must have been well dressed for you to notice.
Well, really, I used to tease him about it, and he loved it. You know, that's anyway. You remember that old fellow that was the paddock judge up in at River Downs? Jackie used to dress so well.
Oh yeah, he's real tall guy.
Yeah, gray hair.
Yeah, forever. He was there forever.
I wish Grubb was here, he could have told us that name because he knew everybody up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
The prettiest wind pictures in the world because they take them shooting a camera toward Kentucky. So that you got the hills. The hills are green and pretty. Yeah, they're pretty wind pictures.
They gave a trophy with every time you ran an allowance race. We got several of them at home. And one of them was some bar from Akron.
I love those.
Sponsored the race. And all these people come piling in the winner's circle. You know, there must have been 20 people there.
We had one of my horses, Invigorate, won the River Bay Club purse at Suffolk Downs. It sounds like a nice race and everything, but it really was just a disguised claimer that the River Bay Club ladies sponsored, and there were only four of them, so they were all in the winner's circle.
Sometimes you give you a cooler. All right, well, let me take a break here. The average starter by Interdab earns $53,670. Now, that's more than 26 times its stud fee of $2,000 for a live foal. If you're breeding a race, that ought to get your attention. What's more, over 12% of his starters have won a place in stakes. Interdab is the sire of the 2013 graded stakes winner, Head Hard Hoof, winner of the Grade 3 Toboggan Handicap of the True North True Blue Stakes, also at Aqueduct, placed in the Grade 3 Tom Fool Handicap already this year. Head Hard Hoof's earnings to date exceed $490,000, and he's still going strong. Interdab himself won graded stakes sprinting at Saratoga, Belmont Park. He's passing on his ability to win graded stakes sprinting. He's the son of Eclipse Award sire Phone Trick, sire of 54 stakes winners. He's out of a daughter, Mr. Prospector. Interdab stands at Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus, De Hare, Hall of Fame nominee Invisor, Jazzle, and Mustenfar. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right, you can get 10% savings on anything down at Quillen Leather and Tack now. If you're a local, and by local, all you have to do is walk in the front door. Buy something and you get your 10% off. But that's a heck of a deal. You know, you walk in there enough. I don't know if you can turn around, walk in, come in, turn around, walk
get another 10%. By 10 times, you're free.
That'd be 30% discount. We better shut up.
Ralph is getting confused already. He's just worried about getting the brewery open.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a great tack shop. And local farms, you know, that's pretty serious savings. And the way the times are, you know, you take that seriously. So instead of ordering your halters, why don't you just stop by the shop and pick them up?
And drink a beer.
And, pretty soon you can run down right down the road, right up the road on Main Street there in Paris, Kentucky, and drink one of his beers. He's brewing beers. I don't know if he's coming from a family of bootleggers or what, but he's going to start brewing his own beer. I'm kind of anxious to try it myself.
No kidding.
No.
Do we get 10% off if we're local?
Hey, I'm going to ask Ralph. That's Ralph Quillen, Quillen Leather and Tack. It is a great tack shop, and the products in there are first class. Everything. They've got a great gift shop, And it's fun to go in there because they're so nice. It's in Paris, Kentucky. If you're just coming in from Lexington, going in the Paris-Lexington Road, go straight into Paris, go to the third stoplight and look on your left. And go in and talk to them and look around. And if you're looking for a halter, just about our gift for Christmas or birthday or anything else, it's a great place to go. So it's Quillen Leather and Tack. And you can order, they send ship out over 17,000 halters a year. And there's a reason for that, because they're top quality. Quillen Leather and Tack over in Paris, Kentucky. Well, Mythical Power is an absolutely gorgeous individual. We suggest you visit Warhorse Place. It's at 4425 Kearney Road, right here in Fayette County. And take a look at him. You're going to like what you see. Now couple that with the fact that Mythical Power was a runner, a multiple graded stakes winner with terrific speed, and you have a winning combination. He won two graded stakes around two turns, sprinted 7 furlongs and 120 flat at Santa Anita, beat Kentucky Derby winner Mind That Bird in stakes going a mile and an eighth, ran second in the Grade 1 Woodward Stakes to Quality Road. Quality Road, of course, standing for $25,000 last night. He also placed in the Grade 2 San Carlos at Santa Anita and earned over $821,000. Mythical Power is one of 10 stakes winners from the first two cups by Congaree, a list that includes a champion filly in Ireland and the 2012 Grade 1 stakes winner Geronimo. Mythical Power stands for $7,500 doing a full stands and nurses with breeding incentives available at Warhorse Place. Home also, the first year stallion's Midas Touch, the champion 3-year-old colt of his year in Ireland and a son of the great Galileo, and Santiva, winner of the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and second in the Grade 1 Breeders for 2022, and he's by Giant's Causeway. Inquiries to Jerry Assinger. Here's Jerry's number, 859-509-0053. Or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives, including the Breed Secure program, and see the website at warhorseplace.com. All right, Michael, you got a loser of the...
Yes.
You're a loser and you're a loser.
You got to hurry up, though, because it's in the big race today in Dubai. There's a horse named Treasure Beach.
In Dubai?
Mm-hmm.
Which race?
The ninth race in the big race.
Oh, in the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's his credentials?
Well, he had a long... They gave him off from November until just a few weeks ago, and he has a race over the track, and he only finished 4 lengths behind the horse who's going to be the favorite. And he's 20-1 on the morning line, and the favorite's 5-2. So I think he's got a real shot to be in the money anyway. So if you're playing the exotics, you should go up at double digits and set up something good.
There you go.
And De Kock, the guy, the South African trainer, trains him, and he knows where to put his horses.
Okay.
But I hope that Royal Delta wins, or, you know, some of the American horses do well over there.
Yeah, me too. Because Animal Kingdom's in it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, I was looking at the early entries for the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic up, you know, the race before the Derby on Derby Day. And if all the horses that are signed up for that end up in the race, might upstage the Derby this year. I mean, the field's unbelievable. Wise Dan, Animal Kingdom, I mean, the list is unbelievable.
Wow.
It's going to be a great race.
Great racing today.
Yeah, great racing today.
Who's going to win the Florida Derby? Who do you like?
You know, the Florida Derby has three great horses in it. I think Orb, Shug McGee's horse, has a really good shot. I think it suits his style. Then you got the Shanghai Bobby in there, and I think Shanghai Bobby's sitting on a really, really good race, and he's got to finish first or second, I think, to get into the Derby. He needs some more points. So you got to figure out which horses need the points and who's going to really try.
Yeah, that's right. They've got it now. The champion 2-year-old didn't help him at all, did it?
No.
Yeah.
But his last race was good. I mean, people downplayed it and said he didn't run that well. I thought he ran really, really well off the layoff, and he should be able to get the distance. And Rosie's gone over there to ride him. I think he'll do fine. So.
Oh, is she? She's going to ride at Keeneland this year. Going to ride in Kentucky this summer.
That's because she likes to come visit Little Silver Charm at the farm.
Oh, gosh.
She sent him a Valentine and everything.
Did she really?
Yeah. She's coming to all our fundraisers. You know, this year, you know, we give out an award named for Ferdinand, my friend and sculptor Fred Krogoviak. He made the bronze this year of the award, and we're going to give it to Rosie. So Rosie's going to come to the Ferdinand Ball and accept it.
Ah,
We're trying to get Kate Upton back. You know, she went from being, you know, she, you know, here's old friend's karma. She went from, okay, she's a nice model and everything. She ends up on the front of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Now she's a superstar, and we're trying to get her to come back to visit. I think if we get Kate Upton there, we won't have any problem selling tickets.
I might come myself.
Yeah, 10% off if you're local.
Yeah. Ralph will be there. All right, my friend.
All right. I got to beg for hay. Anybody's got any more hay? Hey, Martin O'Dowd gave us hay.
Well, you told me that last.
Yeah.
Same hay, I guess.
Yeah.
It was last week.
Yeah. That was nice.
Loaded it twice.
Did he really?
We have to keep reinforcing this positive behavior on the part of really nice people.
Yeah. Of course, Martin's a manager of Runnymede Farm.
Yep.
With Catesby.
And then we need some webbings, a couple of webbings for some stalls. If anybody's got any old webbing hanging up in their barns and they're not using it.
I might have some.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If you have some, I'll come over and pick it up, and I'll bring beer. I'll bring some Sam Adams for you.
Hot damn. How about that?
You'll never get it.
Well, I might go out and buy a couple. You want that?
Yeah.
Take it with you.
Thank you
very
much.
You're going to the simulcast?
I hope so.
Okay. Don't say I never gave you anything.
Thank you very much, sir. I'll bring you something next week.
Oh. Trade out.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Come for a tour. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Come on in and enjoy the sun. See the great old horses.
Have you met Dan Mesker?
Yeah, sure.
Well, he just walked in the door.
Dan's been very helpful to us. Toba's been great. Dan came on
a
tour.
Be careful, Dan. I swear he's going to hustle you for something.
No, Dan came to the farm with Peter Wilmot. You know, Peter owned Williamstown when Williamstown was racing.
Yeah.
And Peter is the head of the thoroughbred breeders.
Oh.
And he and Dan are the heads. I don't know.
He's the president.
He's the president. I think Mr. Wilmot is chairman of the board or something, right, Dan?
Correct.
Yeah. Anyway, they came on a tour and they saw Williamstown. We had a ball. It was funny, too, because Peter Wilmot showed up in a suit with a tie and a white shirt and everything, and we're driving around on the old.
Well, some people dress, you know.
I told him I didn't know it was a dress code, you know, for the tour that day. He looked great, and so did Williamstown, thank goodness. And then Mr. Wilmot was generous enough to send us a donation on Williamstown's behalf, too. So. Okay.
See what I tell you now.
There you go. I'm just saying thank you. I'm not asking for another one.
All right.
Thanks, Herschel.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody.
Sit down, Dan. Let me take a little break here. Well, Malibu Moon currently ranks number 2 on the North American sire list. He is aside the winners of nearly $1,900,000 already this year. Aside 4 stakes winners, 3 of them are graded stakes winners. And that's why 2-year-olds by Malibu Moon sold for $625,000, $550,000, and $300,000 at the Fasig Tipton, Florida sale earlier this week. Temple City is by the highly successful Dyna Farmer and is out of curriculum. A half-sister by Danzig to Malibu Moon. Temple City won graded stakes, ran in track record time, ran second in grade 1 stakes, and he stands for $5,000 doing the full stands and nurses at Spendthrift Farm. First foals are yearlings this year. Now take note of this. Temple City is eligible for Spendthrift's popular Breed Secure program. Give Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Tuthacker a call. Number over there is 859, of course, 294-0030. And talk to them about the Breed Secure program. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Also eligible for the program are the stallions Arch, 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 Dominus, Line of David, Notional, Patio Prada, Tis Wonderful, Tis Way, Warriors Reward, and Wilburn. The number at Spendthrift again is 859-294-0030. And check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Oh. We were talking about Dr. Allday. Do you know Steve Allday?
I know of Dr. Allday. Don't know him personally.
Do you? Yeah, well, I got a commercial for him here. This one. I thought maybe you could plug him, too. He's, of course, makes Lubricin and Reborn. And Reborn is the one I've been plugging most because of it's kind of timely. There goes our... that's a clock that we use, a walkie-talkie that we use around here to communicate with the start and gate and the outriders and all that stuff. Anyway, and that's our medic over there, Holly, with her, got it turned up so loud you'd think it was a radio or something. Anyway, well, it is a radio, but not the kind of teenagers use. Well, Lubricin is Reborn. Let's go to Reborn.
And incidentally, Wise Dan ran on Reborn when he, and it's a horse of the year. But it's a concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use. It's a supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. And as you know, colostrum is sometimes gets a little scarce around here. And you can help strengthen that by using Reborn. And, of course, that strengthens the immune system immensely while nursing on the mare, of course, and because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages and provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. It's so Reborn. It's R-E-B-O-R-N-E. And you can check it out. Go to your website and check it up. Check it out. Or you can buy it over at KBC and Horse Sense. And I jumped all over Ralph Quillen, my friend down in Paris. And I think he's probably has it stocked by now. If not, I'm going to go down there and jump on him again. Lubricin is it's all natural, and so is Reborn. And so they're test-free, so you don't have to worry about spit box. And it just sustains the integrity of joint fluid and kind of eliminate costs for acid injections and so forth. So that's spelled L-U-B-R-I-S-Y-N. So check it out over at KBC or Horse Sense. Go down to Quill and Tack and fuss at them down there if they don't have it, and maybe they'll get it for you. So two good products, two good products. I want to talk to Dan Metzger here, just showed up just a second ago. And Dan, I don't believe we've met before, have we? Have we?
No, we have met. It's been a while, Ursel. I was working years ago for Kaywood Ledford. And I met you back in the 80s when I worked for Kaywood. It's probably been 20, I've been in the racing business for 25 years, so it's been more than 25 years ago.
You know, that's an amazing thing. Yesterday, I was listening to another radio station. And they played Kaywood's farewell spiel at the Duke game, you know.
I remember that vividly. I didn't hear it the other night. I worked for Kaywood. I was the general manager of his local company, Kaywood Ledford Productions, when I got out of school until I went to work for the Breeders' Cup back in the late 80s. And I still recall when Jim Nance and Billy Packard turned down the audio on the national call.
No, good Jackie to sit down there a minute.
And they turned down the audio and said, Jim Nance said, we're going to let you all listen to one of the great voices of all time. And then they turned down the audio and on the national television, and they picked up Kaywood calling on CBS radio. And they picked it up for about 2 minutes. And I got goosebumps then. I get goosebumps now thinking about it, because I worked for Kaywood for almost 5 years. And, you know, it was the first boss I had. And, you know, I've had a lot of great bosses, but he was not only a unique person and a famous, well-known person, but he was just a wonderful, wonderful person to work for.
He was, I don't know about working for him, but I met him in the Keeneland press box many years ago. And in about 1980, I think it was, I moved over to WVLK 590. And he would come in to do the Joe Hall show, you know. And we got to know him real well. Jackie knew him before, long before.
But what a nice guy.
One of the most humble people.
Decent, fine guy.
Absolutely.
And fun.
It was fun.
Jackie said it well. He was humble. And for a person of his stature
and
the notoriety, and I don't mean to be indicting of a profession, but a lot of people in the broadcasting, not saying you, Ursel, have large egos, because I've been around a lot of them. And Kaywood had no ego. You could fit his ego in the size of probably smaller than this room
here. Yeah.
And he was modest. He was hardworking. Here was a gentleman that came to work every day at 8 o'clock. I mean, if I showed up at 8:05, he'd say, "You're a little late, partner, aren't you?" And you know, back then you had to wear a coat and tie. You had to wear a tie every day, unless you're going out to one of the farms. Because one thing about Kaywood, he's the person that really got me hooked on thoroughbred racing.
Is that right?
He really did.
He loved it, didn't he?
Loved it. He won some Eclipse Awards every year on Channel 27 here in Lexington. We did a show on horse racing. And I think that's where where I met you. We did a show on horse. I produced four or five shows for Kaywood.
Did you produce one about us? We were at Homewood Farm.
I think I did. I mean, it's been 30 years, but
It was three.
Yeah, it was 30
years. It was in three segments. There was us, and then we sent him to Alexander.
Henry.
Henry
that's,
Alexander.
That's, you're exactly right. It was called, it was Small Breeders Chasing the Dreams, and I may be
that's
off a
it.
Little bit.
That's it. And who was the third?
Joe Slick.
Was Joe Slick.
I'll be darned.
And that's a great memory because I remember going out to the Slick's place, which is now, you know, it's off Tate's Creek. It was a two-lane road back then.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm
going to see Mr. Alexander, which I believe was back behind where Ashford is now. And And Mr. Ford's place, which was Brookside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Small world, isn't it?
I'll tell you a funny story. Joe B.
Hall.
And
another nice guy, incidentally.
Yeah, wonderful guy. Well, he and Kaywood would come in and they would do that talk show once a week right after Ursa went off the air. In the summer, on the occasion, Joe B. would buy a great, big, wonderful Sunday for Kaywood. Kay would come flying down that hall. He said, "I can't eat this stuff before I go in here. Eat it." So Ursa and I are down there chowing down on this thing. So he wasn't going to hurt Joe's feelings for the world.
Yes, don't let Joe know.
Don't let Joe know.
He's probably just finding out right now.
Probably. Could be. But we'd take him and give him the empty cup because he was not going to hurt Joe's feelings. Oh, thank you, Joe. That was wonderful. But he said he just couldn't talk with all that.
Kaywood had his company called Kaywood Ledford Productions, and probably 75% of the business was around UK sports, college athletics.
Yeah.
But then, you know, in the summertime, you know, not a lot going on, and we used to do a lot on horse racing. And that's when I really started getting my bug, and Kaywood's one who really got me, you know, I couldn't wait to get the blood horse every week when Kaywood was finished with it. Then I'd read it from front to back. And when I got hired when I got approached by the Breeders' Cup to work for them by Ted Bassett, I was real nervous because I went in to see Kaywood. I said, "Kaywood, I've been approached by the Breeders' Cup to talk to him. I need your permission." And I'd never forget it to this day. Kaywood said, "Partner," he said, "you know, I'm not going to be, you know, I'm going to be retiring in a couple of years. And I want you to do well. And the Breeders' Cup is much bigger than anything I could ever give you." And he said, "I'll call Ted Bass and help you get that job." And then that meant the absolute world to me. Then, and a couple, that was in 1989.
Sounds just like him.
Oh, yeah.
And he retired 3 years later, and we remained great friends. And, you know, see him at the Derby all the time. And, you know, he was always the best dressed man in the press box, too.
He broadcast the year he retired. He also broadcast the finals of the NCAA, didn't he?
Correct. That's when Jim Nance turned down the audio on the national television broadcast to pick up Kaywood. So Kaywood's last game he broadcast was Duke, and I'm not sure who the other team was, but we know it was Duke.
Yeah.
Had to be Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was so nice. When he retired, he had a brother. Did you know about his brother?
I knew well about his brother.
Yeah. His brother had been, I mean, his brother was a genius, something like a real honest-to-goodness nuclear physicist or something, in a horrible crash and a pretty brain injury. He could walk.
Yes, he was.
But he was very hesitant in speech and stuff.
His brother Jim, and Jim was on the research team that helped invent AstroTurf back in the 60s.
Is that right?
Yes.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he was
part.
On the research team and a brilliant guy, could get around, but unfortunately the accident left him basically with the mind of a young child. And a wonderful person.
Used to give him rides up to see Kaywood and stuff. And when Kaywood went home, he went back to Harlan and took care of his brother.
Yeah, actually Harlan, they went to the town of Kaywood,
which is Harlan County.
I had to twist in this because I think it was, I could be wrong, maybe Kurt Gowdy or Dick Enberg said to Kaywood, "You're so popular, you're the only broadcaster we know that got a city named after you."
Well,
but I had a city came
about
before
the size of Centerville, but there you are. What was the gas station?
What's the name of the guy now that I'm having a senior moment on the ESPN, you know, that does.
Dick Vitale.
Is it true? I heard this that after the final broadcast, that Dick Vitale came over to him and says, "We really, you know, it's really great that you would come in and hear. This is the Duke win, you know, not against Kentucky, but the finals of the NCAA." He came over and says,
how appreciative it were, you know, that you would come in and do your last broadcast here. And he says, no, he says, I did my last broadcast last week.
Yeah, I remember hearing that story. Yeah. And Kaywood had so much respect from his peers from across the country and the world, from the broadcasting, from the Giants. And he had opportunities to go to New York, L.A., to the big time, but he always had Kentucky at heart.
Yeah, yeah. And he loved racing, too.
Yeah. And he wound up raising miniature horses.
Raised miniature horses with Jim Payne up in Owenton, Kentucky. And I went up with him a couple times. He had some, I think, down in eastern Kentucky, and he had some of the horses with Mr. Payne. And I never forget Mr. Payne told us a story. This is back in the mid-'80s. He said he would have a camera in the foaling barn at night so he could see the miniatures. You know, when they fold. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a major stallion operator down here in central Kentucky, up in Paris, about it, who was a friend of Kay Woods and Mr. Payne's, and he laughed and said, we don't even have cameras in our foaling barns for that at a major thoroughbred operation. Right. But anyway, they were a lot of fun.
Well, let me take a little break, and we'll get right back to you, Dan, talking to Dan Metzger. But 2-year-old from the first crop by Cowboy Cal sold for $410,000. Whoa, that's not right. Where am I here? I'm supposed to do I've got to do a Pin Oak. I'm supposed to do a Coomore and a Pin. Well, I'll get this later. I'll get back on schedule. I haven't done this one. Stay Thirsty is a grade one stakes winner of $1,936,000. He's the leading money winner, sired by the popular Bernardini, whose stud fee has climbed to $150,000. Stay Thirsty gave notice early that he was going to be something special, breaking his maiden at Saratoga by 5.5 lengths, running second in the Grade 1 Hopeful. At 3, he won the historic Grade 1 Travers, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, the Grade 3 Gotham, was second, beaten less than a length in the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and also placed in the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, besting Future Horse of the Year Fort Larned. During the year, he posted the highest buyer speed figure of any 3-year-old colt going more than a mile. Stay Thirsty came back at 4 after dropping a head-bobbing decision in the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup and concluded his career with a win in the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, besting Groupie Doll and posting a 109 buyer. Stay Thirsty, a $500,000 graduate of a 2-year-old in training sale, is one of 3 Grade 1 performers out of Marizia, a daughter of Stonebird, and the $500,000 stakes winner Make Change. She's by Roberto, and he stands for $20,000, doing a full stanza nurses at Coomore's Ashford Stud. Call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coomore.com.
WLXG Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville! What price they'll cost?
Well, Divine Park's getting the job done at stud. He is the sire of 26 starters in his first crop. 16 have won a place, and 6 others have placed. That's 16 have won, and 6 others have placed from 22 starters. So he's from, let me get that right again. He's the sire of 26 starters in his first crop. 16 have won, 6 others have placed. So that's 22 to win a place from his first 26 starters. He's the sire of Dancing in the Circle, a winner of the $100,000 By the Light Stakes and placed in the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie. Of Blonde Fog, winner of her first start but 12.5 lengths and then second in the Grade 1 $500,000 Hollywood Lassie. Come On Baby, Light My Fire, never off the board in 5 starts and stakes placed twice in Canada. Divine Ambition, winner of her debut by 8 lengths, second and last Saturday's Rush Away at Turfway, and also placed in the Pasco Stakes at Tampa. Of Divine, Super Divine, winner first time out in a maiden special at the fairgrounds on March the 15th. Divine Happiness, winner of her debut at the fairgrounds by 9.5 lengths in a maiden special. And the list just keeps growing. Winner of the Grade 1 Metropolitan, the Grade 3 Withers, and the Grade 3 Westchester, Divine Park, is one of 29 winners from the first 3 crops sired by Chester House. That's 29 stakes winners. He stands for $10,000 live foal of Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty. I'm talking to Dan Metzger here at the Thoroughbred Center. We're starting the second hour now. And I started the second hour 10 minutes late. That's about par for the course for this show. And anyway, where are you from, Dan? You from Lexington?
No, I've been here over 31 years. I'm originally from Fort Wright, which is up in northern Kentucky.
Ah, I knew it. Covington Catholic.
Covington Catholic is exactly right. Exactly. Covington Catholic. I had my brothers and I, five of us, went to Covenant Catholic. I had five sisters go to Notre Dame Academy.
Oh, 10 of you? Jackie's making noises over there. She went to La Salette. Is that the name of the place she went up? Catholic school.
Yes, yes. La Salette unfortunately closed, I think, about 30, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She still goes to reunions.
Yes, yes. My mother went to Our Lady of Providence. She still goes to her reunions. And that school closed probably 40 years ago. But I went to school at the University of Kentucky and been here ever since.
Oh, okay. So what'd you major in?
Majored in journalism, communications, and minored in political science.
Okay. Now, what was your first job out of college?
First job out of college, actually my first job for a few months, I worked for a small newspaper up in northern Kentucky for a few months, and then I was hired by Kaywood back in, about 5-6 months after I graduated from college.
Oh, boy, I bet you thought that was a dream job.
It was. I interned in college for 2 years for Host Communications.
And Jim Host's another nice guy.
Oh, Jim Host is great, and did a lot for me and me personally, my career. And when I started working for Jim as an intern in 1982, I think they had 4 or 5 people in their sports department totally. And, at its height, I'm not sure how many they had, but a lot more than that. And I was involved in the very beginning of contacting radio stations, faxing contracts to get radio stations to sign up for the NCAA tournament radio network, which Host has had for years.
Yeah.
And so I did that and worked over in Tudor Square over off Kentucky Avenue. And Kaywood's office was downstairs in the basement. And he had Brad Davis work for him. Brad used to be a sports reporter on Channel 27, then went to UK as a basketball SID, and I took Brad's place. And then Brad went to work for the SEC and unfortunately passed away a few years ago. But Kaywood was in the basement. The studio for Host was right across the hall. Still remember Mike Kilburn, Ben Osborne, and Kaywood used to he used to walk across the hall, do his shows, and walk back. So
yeah. Yeah, that must have been fun.
It was fun. I mean, I tell people, I said it was the least amount of money I ever made in my life. I thought it was a lot back then, but it was probably the most fun and gratifying. It was the what you learned and who you met. And because when you worked for Kaywood, you met everybody, whether it be in college athletics, whether it be horse racing, you could see a trainer, you could see someone from the racetrack, anybody, they knew Kaywood.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to do these radio shows in the summer called Conversation with Kaywood. And we'd go on the road and do shows with, for an hour. We taped and we came back to WVOK and played them back on Thursday nights on about 50 or 60 stations across the state of Kentucky. And we used to go do, Joe B. Holman, obviously, and we do Danny Crum, Bobby Knight, Pete Rose when he was chasing Ty Cobb. So met a lot of people. And when we called the Reds, and I said to Kaywood, I think we should go do Pete Rose because he was chasing Ty Cobb. And Pete says, you think we could get in to see Pete, partner? I said, I'll call Jim Ferguson, their PR guy. I've known Jim. And they said Pete would love to see Kaywood because he was obviously a big basketball fan and loved Kaywood. And, great experiences like that. And you just met everybody.
And it's typical of Kaywood that if you think we can get in.
Exactly. It was just like, Kaywood, you don't realize when someone calls and says Kaywood Leffert wants to see you, the door is open very wide.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, what did you do at the Breeders' Cup? You left Kaywood and went to the Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, I worked at the Breeders' Cup, and I was the originally the – I think my title was director of information, and I wound up being the director of marketing and communications and worked in simulcasting, worked with the Breeders' Cup simulcasting back in the early days. And so
what year did you go with them?
I went to the Breeders' Cup in January of 1989.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen most of them.
I was there. I've seen most of them. And it was, going to the Breeders' Cup was just working for Ted Bassett and D.G. Van Cleef was, I've been very blessed to have some great people to work for.
I tell you what, Danny's another nice guy, and of course, Ted is too.
Yeah, I mean, they were a great team together, Mr. Bassett and D.G. And, I mean, Mr. Bassett just commanded so much respect. And, you know, here's a gentleman, and I still try to see him a couple times a year.
Go he's 91 now.
91, and he's remarkable. Yeah. And
there's an article in the Daily Racing Form Sunday edition now written by Glennie Keane, Oxford, on an interview with Ted.
Yeah, I think actually the Keeneland's doing their clubhouse pins this year in his family in his racing silks.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, great? I just got mine in the mail the other day. And they usually do it after a well-known owner.
I thought they'd have a marine emblem.
That's right. That's right. So, but I worked for the Breeders' Cup until 1999. When I was approached by Stuart Janney, who's co-owner of Orb, running in the Florida Derby today, and the Janney family is very, very well connected in thoroughbred racing. His father owned Ruffian, and Stuart was the chairman of Toba at the time, and they
keep all their horses at Claiborne.
Correct. Yeah. Long-standing family relationship, along with the Phippses, who are the Stuart's cousin is Denny Phipps, and they approached me back in 1999. About going over to be president of Toba, and I had DGs who at that time Mr. Bassett had retired from Breeders' Cup a couple years earlier, and had their full blessing and support. So you know it's been a great diverse, interesting ride, and you've been fortunate to meet a lot of people not only across the United States from across the world as well.
Yeah, let me take another break. I could try to catch up here and get right back with you. March 23 at Aqueduct, the Grade 3 Excelsior was won by Last Gunfighter, a four-year-old colt by First Samurai. On March 22 in Louisiana, the Gold Coast Stakes went to Kamenari, a four-year-old filly. She is by First Samurai. That same day, Baffle Me by First Samurai won the feature allowance race at Gulfstream. The day before, Justin Phillip, of course, he's a stakes winner. He's by First Samurai, and he won a feature allowance race at Oakland. Now My First Samurai, winner March 23rd, now add that, My First Samurai, winner March 23rd of a starter allowance at Santa Anita, and Our Last Frog, winner March 21st of a starter allowance race also at Santa Anita, and you have in 3 days of racing, two stakes winners, including a graded stakes winner, two winners of feature races, and two winners of starter allowance races, all at major tracks, all sired by First Samurai. Last Gunfighter's win in the Excelsior was his fifth consecutive and third stakes win. He just keeps right on improving. First Samurai, grade one stakes winner by Giants Causeway, stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the service available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Country Day won three stakes and placed in five others, including the Grade 2, it's now Grade 1, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. He won on dirt, grass, and artificial and earned over $500,000. He's a runner with a running pedigree. A son of the elite sire, Spritestown, out of the graded stakes winner Hidden Assets, a daughter of the brilliant miler and successful sire Mount Livermore. The second dam is by Roberto, the third by Bold Ruler, both major stakes producers, and the family has already given us such sires as Aladar, Grand Slam, Codex. Country Day is standing his first season at stud this year, $5,000, due in a full stanza nurses at Polk McLean's Crestwood Farm. Home also Channel, Get Stormy, Mutata, No Biz Like Show Biz, Taste of Paradise, and Tis Deja Vu. Call the farm at 859-252-3770. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All right, I'm talking to Dan Metzger. Where'd we leave off, Dan? We were talking.
Kids.
Well, no, we're going to talk about his kids later on. No, we were talking about the TOBA now. We're going to get into TOBA. You went to work for TOBA.
Yeah, I started working for TOBA in 1999, and when Stuart Janney hired me.
Yeah.
Stuart was the chairman of TOBA, and I've been there, you know, going on 14 years now. It seems hard to believe. It seems like I was 36 years old and seemed young, and now you blink your eyes and...
I don't want to talk about age.
Yeah, none of us do.
Anyway, yeah, well, that's you all got a lot going on. But I know what you all do, but people out there don't. So tell me what TOBA does.
TOBA was formed in 1961, and it was when an old American Breeders Association formed with an owner's group. The Breeders Group goes back to like 1916, and the owner's group, which was founded by Fred Hooper, was started, I think, in the 40s. And they formed in 1961 to create TOBA. And, you know, among the things that TOBA has been associated with, you know, TOBA owns the Blood Horse magazine.
Yeah.
And for years, for the first probably 25 years of its existence, TOBA was pretty much of a low-key organization, but it made probably one of the most significant decisions in its history, if not for the sport, it started the American Graded Stakes Committee back in 1973. So TOBA is the one who started the graded stakes system. Prior to 1973, we didn't have graded stakes in America. And it was basically patterned after the European Pattern Committee to identify the best bloodstock for, you know, the sales and for the breeding end of the business. And so that, you know, has significant impact on the industry, not only from the breeding industry and the sales and everything associated, but also the racing part of the industry. So we have a committee called the American Graded Stakes Committee, which is chaired by Dr. David Richardson out of Louisville. Who's a longtime owner breeder, and Dr. Richardson is the chairman of him. We have 6 TOBA members, owners and breeders on the committee, in addition to 5 racing officials from across the country, including my good friend Rogers Beasley over at Keeneland.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what, you know, TOBA, you know, 2 major things that's known for is the Blood Horse and the American Graded Stakes Committee. Probably 20 some years ago, TOBA was the pioneer in putting on new owner seminars, putting on breeding and pedigree clinics across.
You got a seminar coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, we do. We have one at Keeneland, and it's our first one at Keeneland in quite a while, and we're very excited about it. Matter of fact, it's going to be broadcast live on the webcast.
Oh, very good.
Which we're excited about. And appreciate all the cooperation we're getting from Bill Thomason and his staff at Keeneland. They've been terrific. TOBA also, we essentially, our mission statement is to improve the economics, the integrity, and the pleasure of the sport for owners and breeders. And that probably sounds like a little commercial I put in.
That's all right.
But we do anything
I'll
we can.
I'll send you a bill.
Exactly. You know, we also do the clinics. We also, along with the National HBPA, we founded and put on the Claiming Crown every year, which has been around since 1999. It was run for the most of its years at Canterbury Park up in Minnesota. Great event.
It ran
at Gulfstream back in December, and it was absolutely smashing success.
Yeah, you know, it always is.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, and some people would think, you know, they would think it's more the smaller tracks would want it. Tim Rickville and the Stronach Group reached out to us and said they wanted to host the event on opening day at Gulfstream.
Wow.
And their handle went from last year, previous year, of $7.5 million on opening day to over $12 million. They want the event back for multiple years. So that was great. And the other thing, which, so I don't forget, is TOBA also, one of its charitable subsidiary is the Thoroughbred Charities of America, which is, you know, obviously raises funds primarily through our stallion season auction we have every January.
You still got some that you could sell, I believe.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And we get select seasons donated for the live auction. We have a lot through the telephone auction, and the TCA supports, you know, the retired racehorses. Yeah. You know, Michael knows that because we've helped support his organization. And we also support, I think, which is very important and not to be forgotten, is a lot of the human elements in thoroughbred racing, the people that need help, a lot of the backstretch programs, the educational programs, and things along to help people in horse racing that aren't as fortunate as myself or others.
Well, this seminar, ownership seminar is on Friday, April the 19th.
Correct.
I wrote that down because I couldn't remember.
It's at Keeneland. It's at Keeneland. I can't tell you the exact room where it's at, but if someone goes to our website, I mean, they started. It's an all day program. It's going to start in the morning, and we've got a great list of speakers, which are listed on the website, who are going to speak about the different issues. And it's about when owners get into the business, a prospective owner. It can be an intimidating business. Let's face it. A lot of people watch it as a fan, and when they want to get into the business and start investing their money, mm-hmm. you know, where do you turn to? And we try to provide the best advice and bring the best professionals, whether they be a trainer, a bloodstock agent, an attorney, an accountant, every different aspect that touches you as a thoroughbred owner.
Yeah. Now, you've got the Derby Trainers thing coming up, too. Don't you have a bunch of
Well, no, that's the KTA. That's the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association.
Oh, okay.
/ Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders.
Yeah.
That's my good friend, David Schweitzer.
Everybody's a good friend.
Yeah. David's everybody's great friend. And, you know, they're actually a member of TOBA, and they have that every year. And it's always been a successful, you know, event to see all those trainer dinners, which I remember from going to those 25 years ago.
Yeah. Favorite Breeders Cup?
My favorite Breeders' Cup? You know, it's a good question, Ursel, and I'll probably say my first as an employee. It was in 1989 at Gulfstream Park, and a lot of people, and there are great moments in the Breeders' Cup. The year before I worked there, I was working for Kaywood. Obviously, the winning colors personal instant race was spectacular with Goodbye Halo, Arthur Hancock's horse, running a pretty close third, I believe.
Yeah. Nobody ever mentions her.
Nobody ever mentions her, but she ran Arthur's horse ran a bang-up race. But, you know, 1989, probably because it was my first event, really first time and really in an atmosphere like that. I remember picking up my wife at the airport late in the week because I was there for 2 weeks and getting on a golf cart at 10 o'clock at night, driving around the track and to see it was lit up and just right before, you know, 2 days before the event and how beautiful it was. And the list of horses that ran in that event were, it was numbing. And the build up that year to the rematch between Easy Goer and Sunday Silence.
Yeah.
People forget that too. And I'd never forget I was down in the winner's circle right by the finish line. And I've been to every Kentucky Derby since 1984. And I still think, and maybe it's just, you know, perception, that was the loudest I ever heard a crowd. The horses coming down those two horses coming down that stretch. Blushing John was in the lead. Sunday Silence surged to the lead. And then you heard Tom Durkin saying Sunday Silence bracing for the oncoming power of Easy Goer. And you just saw Easy Goer just taking these huge steps and gutty Sunday Silence held on. And the place was numbing. And so there was a spectacular day of racing at Gulfstream Park. Great weather. And so that's probably my most memorable Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, very good. Very descriptive.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. Let me take another break and be right back, Dan. See where in the hell I am here. Need all the help I can get. Well, First Defense has a lot going for him. He's already demonstrated his ability to sire runners. Runners such as Group Stakes winner Dun Dunnell and the undefeated filly Close Hatches. She's headed to the Kentucky Oaks. He has a great pedigree. His Unbridled Song currently ranks fourth on the list of leading sires. He's out of the Grade One Stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, to Empire Maker, the nation's second-ranked sire in 2012. And First Defense and Empire Maker share the same unbridled sire line. That's a tough pedigree to live up to. But Defense got the job done by winning Grade One Stakes himself. Now add to that the fact that he's receiving the strong backing from his breeder, Judmont Farm. For instance, Flute, Grade One winner, millionaire, winner of the Kentucky Oaks, is booked to him this year. So is the Grade One winner, Yasmak, and Grade One winner, Price Tag, and Grade Two winner and Grade One producer, True Flair. Multiple graded stakes winner, Aviate, and Group Two winner, Dedina. Group One winner, well, Group One producer, I should say, Willstar. And this list is, believe me, nowhere near complete. So take a look at First Defense for 7,500 live foal. As stated earlier, he's got a lot going for him. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, see the website at judmont.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, risk, class, pace, and speed rating, free membership, handicapping contest, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, last Saturday, Grade 3 $800,000 Sunland Derby was won by Governor Charlie, bred by Mike Pegram, raised at Hillendale Farm. That same day, the $200,000 Sunland Park Oaks went to Midnight Lucky, bred by Dr. Chuck Kidder, Dr. Johnny Griggs, and Linda Griggs. In New York, the Grade 3 $150,000 Excelsior went to Last Gunfighter, a colt bred by John Gunther and raised at his Glenwood Farm. And the Cicada Stakes went to Elj Hayur, bred by Shadwell Farm. Quit laughing over there. Crop Report, bred by Liberation Farm and raised at Brandywine Farm, won the, the Rushaway Stakes? That's right. Rushaway Stakes for Team Valor, the Rushaway Stakes. They sponsored that. Very good. The list of top-class stakes winners raised on Macaulay products just keeps growing with leaps and bounds. So why don't you give them a call and ask about their products and the many services that go with every bag of feed? The number is 859-873-3333. Ask for Mike Warren or David Longmire, and you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers produces products exclusively for the horse, and that's why we say that at Macaulay's, it's all about the horse. And one more thing, Steve Haskins, top 12 Derby contenders, you know, 8 of the 12 in this week's magazine, Blood Horse Magazine, were raised on products from Macaulay Brothers. Somebody's doing something right down there. All right. Well, Dan, my man from the Toba, you're married and living in Lexington now.
Correct. Married for over 25 years, and I have a child. My oldest son's at the University of Kentucky. He's a senior, Patrick. And
what's he majoring in?
He has a double major in marketing and management.
Okay.
And he'll be graduating with a double major in December. That'd be in 4.5 years, so it's pretty good for a double major. And my middle child, Shane, he's at Transylvania, so they both stayed local. And he's his sophomore there, and he's made double major in computer science and Spanish. And my youngest is a senior at Lexington Catholic, Josie, and she'll be going to Bellarmine University next year in Louisville. And, you know, she's going to be going there for school, and she's also going to be playing soccer over there.
Ah, does she play soccer at it?
She played at Lexington Catholic, and you know, she's very excited about going to Bellarmine.
Is she getting a partial scholarship something?
Yes. Bellarmine's a Division II school in athletics, at least in soccer. I think lacrosse, they might be Division I, but they won the Division II men's basketball national championship 2 years ago. And they had great program. Scotty Davenport, he used to be an assistant to at Louisville. And he was also a longtime coach years ago at Ballard as their head coach. But it's a great school. I never stepped foot on the campus till about a year and a half ago. It's over in the Highlands area of Louisville Newburgh Road, growing. And it's their women's soccer program's like a top 20 program and on the uprise. And they're doing very, very well. So she's excited about it.
Wow.
Catholic school.
You want to talk if you want to talk.
I said it's Catholic school.
Yeah.
It's a nice, smallish, you know, some place where you don't think your kid's going to, especially a girl, it's a great place to go.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, I want to thank you for stopping in.
Thank you for having me, Ursel, anytime. I've really enjoyed talking to you this morning, and it's a big day of racing today, and back and start my handicapping, and, you know.
You're a little late.
Well, I'm usually late on the handicapping standpoint.
The horses I pick are usually a little late.
Yeah, correct. And unfortunately, with my handicapping, usually I wind up rooting for friends more than I usually let my heart overtake
my
mind.
Right.
Yeah, awful.
I've got some dear friends who have horses running some big races today and some tough races. And, you know, just let's hope everybody, all the horses and jockeys get back safely. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get Steve Moody on here in just a second. And he's going to give us the winner of the
I'm sure he will.
Of the Louisiana Derby. So we'll see what happens. But Dan, thank you.
Absolutely, Ursel. Good to see you.
Nice meeting you.
Okay.
I'll know you next time unless – unless you're 6 feet tall or 6 feet five, like that.
Eric Hamelback.
You'll never get
I
over that.
I don't know if you heard this earlier, but I bumped into Eric Hamelback at Keeneland.
After he'd been on the show.
After he'd been on the show, and I hadn't seen Eric since sitting across from me like that. And Eric must be 6'5". And, you know, I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, Eric's.
And it was embarrassing. It was, you know, one of my sponsors and everything.
Eric's on our board of directors for Thoroughbred Charities of America. Great guy and, you know, does a great job over at Dena and Louisiana boy. And, you know, big football guy, coaches football up over there. Yeah, Eric's terrific.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's very tolerant of my ignorance anyway. All right, Dan, thank you.
Thank you, Ursel.
All righty. You want to see if we can get Steve take a break?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the average starter by Interdab earned $53,670. That's more than 26 times his stud fee of $2,000 for a live foal. If you're breeding to race, that should get your attention. What's more, over 12% of his starters have won a place in stakes. Interdab is the sire of the 2013 graded stakes winner, Head Heart Hook. Winner of the Grade 3 Toboggan, the Grade 2 of the True Blue Stakes, it's also at Aqueduct. Placed in the Grade 3 Tom Fool Handicap, already at $490,000, he's still going strong. Interdab himself won Graded Stakes Sprinting at Saratoga and at Belmont Park, and is passing on his ability to win Graded Stakes Sprinting. He's a son of Eclipse Ward sire Phone Trick, sire 54 Stakes winners, and he's out of a daughter of Mr. Prospector. Interdab stands at Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus, Daher, Hall of Fame nominee Invisor, Dazzle, and Mustenfar. Inquires to stallion manager Kent Barnes. Number over there is 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Hey,
Ranger. First of all, after an undefeated season at two, he was champion three-year-old colt in Ireland. Then he's by Danzig, North America's leading sire stakes winners with 202 and a sire of sire. He's out of a half-sister to Dinah Farmer. He's sired 126 stakes winners. The second dam is the grade one stakes winner Andover Way, and it's a black-type family as far as the eye can see. Another reason for his popularity is that he's siring grand-looking foals. Yearlings averaged over eight times his current stud fee last year, and his first two-year-old to be sold at auction went for $160,000 this year at Barrett's. Breeders like what they see in U.S. Ranger, and they were generous in their support. He covered some 300 mares in his first three seasons at stud, including 146 last year. We look for the U.S. Rangers to come out running in 2013. Stands for $5,000, payable when the foal stands a nurse, is at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, finally chased down Steve Moody. Steve, how you doing?
Doing all right, Ursel.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. You're living through all this basketball?
Well, yeah, we're watching the women's team comes on here at noon. So.
Oh, okay. Who's carrying that?
I think it's on ESPN. Either one or two, I'm not sure which. But
yeah, it's been one or two. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll find it. We'll find it. I watched that Kansas game last night, and I couldn't.
That was a dandy.
I swear, I couldn't believe it. They blew that one. But they sure did. Michigan just all of a sudden, just in the last, what, 3-4 minutes, started to play like they hadn't played, you know, the previous 37 minutes. I don't know what was going on. But
they were behind almost the entire game, and finally tied it there and forced overtime. And yeah, that's kind of a tough loss to swallow if you're a Kansas fan.
Oh, I tell you what was. Well, let's talk about horse racing. Who's going to win the Louisiana Derby today?
Well, Ursula, you got a big field for the Louisiana Derby. 14 drawn in this race. Of course, going a mile and an eighth. This is the 100th running Centennial Louisiana Derby today. And, I thought, you know, there were several that had a chance in here. The favorite in here is only 3-1. That's Revolutionary, who, comes off a win, in the Withers. running on the, you know, the inner track at Aqueduct. I'm never all that high on the races on the inner track, and so for that reason I didn't take Revolutionary. I know a lot of people are kind of dismissing the Risen Star because the big long shot horse won it, questioning whether it was how legitimate of a race it was. But I thought that Code West ran a big race in there. The horse battled from start to finish in the Risen Star. Just got beat a nose on the wire. This is his, this is his third start of the year today. So I think he's going to be ready for top effort. He came out of the Risen Star and has worked well like most Baffert horses do. And, I think he's going to run a big race today. I'm going to give him a shot. I think Palace Malice has a big chance as well for Todd Pletcher. Ran a big race last time, first time around turns, and he figures to move forward off of that race. He's drawn inside, so he should be able to save some ground in the mile and an eighth race. And then, of course, we have a little bit of an unknown with the seven horse departing. The Claiborne horse and Colt by Warfront. Al Stahl's got him. He's never been beaten, but he's going long today. He figures to be running at the end. I think he's not without a chance either. 8-1 on the morning line. Definitely a horse that I think is going to be worth using, especially in the exotic. So we're going to go again. I'm going to go with the Baffert horse, Code West. So we'll go 8-2-7 in the Centennial Louisiana Derby.
All right, Steve. Are you going to go back putting out the Keeneland sheet here pretty quick, I guess?
Yeah, we'll go Tuesday. They'll draw Friday's entries on Tuesday. So Tuesday night, we'll be back to the Kentucky Handicapper on Tuesday.
Ah, great. Great. Looking forward to it. All right, my friend. Get back to basketball. And it's kind of fun time of year, isn't it?
We'll see if we can handle this girl from Delaware today who's all everything for the Blue Hens. So.
Okay. Okay, Steve. Thanks a million. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. Well, Mary Jane, I'm going to make up one down here now. This is Clifford, my friend, Clifford Berry. I had you out of place earlier, so here we go. A two-year-old from the first crop, a Cowboy Cal, sold for $410,000 at the OBS March sales. Horsemen like what they see in Cowboy Cal. What prompted leading breeder Winchell Thoroughbreds to purchase a substantial interest in Cowboy Cal after inspecting many of his progeny. There's a lot to like. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner by champion sire Giant's Causeway out of a daughter seeking the goal and graded stakes winner and grade one producer Hot Novel. It's a solid black type family. Cowboy Cal earned over $1 million. He stands for $7,500 live foal at Pin Oak Stud. That's, of course, the home also of Broken Vow and Sky Classic. And Broken Vow, after siring 19 stakes winners in 2012 to rank third in that category, has sired 5 stakes winners already this year. That ranks him right at the top. Clips Award winner Sky Classic has sired 6 champions, 59 stakes winners, and over 100 stakes horses. Broken Vow stands for $25,000 live foal. Sky Classic for $7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or to Nancy Stevens and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty, I'm going to take care of my good friend David Schweitzer over at the KTA and give you the names of the breeders of stakes winners last week. Get my time straight one of these days. Horseshoe Casino Cincinnati Racing Spiral Stakes, grade 3 down at Turfway. went to Black Onyx, bred by Cloverleaf Farms, right here in Kentucky. The Sunland Derby, grade three, with a pot of $800,000. Governor's Charlie won that. Governor's Charlie, bred by Michael Pegram. And the Twilight Eclipse, grade two, down at Twilight Eclipse, won the Pan American Stakes, grade two, down at Gulfstream. Twilight Eclipse is bred by Epona Thoroughbreds. Let's see, the Excelsior Stakes, grade three at Aqueduct, winner was Last Gunfighter, bred by John Gunther. Last Gunfighter is by First Samurai. Had two stakes winners last week. The Tokyo City Cup Stakes, grade three at Santa Anita, went to Sky Kingdom. Sky Kingdom, an empire maker, bred by my friend Jim Fitzgerald, who owns Knott Griffin Farm, down close to us. The Sunland Park Oaks, with a pot of $200,000, went to Midnight Lucky, bred by Dr. Chuck Kidder, Dr. Johnny Griggs, and Linda Griggs. The Cicada Stakes at Aqueduct went to El Hayur. That's a ghost zapper, bred by Shadwell Farm. Nice filly. That's her second stakes win in a row, I'm pretty sure. Ghost Zapper's 13 stakes winners already this year. Stands at Adena Springs. The Bill Thomas Memorial Stakes at Sunland went to Isn't He Clever, a four-year-old son of Smarty Jones, bred by Montague. The Bacata Stakes at Delta Downs, Agent DeNoza. That's a four-year-old, another ghost zapper. This one bred by Will Farish. The Gulf Coast Stakes at Delta Downs went to Kaminari, First Samurai filly. She's a four-year-old, bred by Spring Ridge Farm and Lock Lowell Farm. And Laurie's Rocket won the Hot Spring Stakes at Oaklawn. She's by Bluegrass Cat, who's now up in New York, bred by Gulf Coast Farm. And the Team Vala Rushaway Stakes, Crop Report won that. And that was bred by Liberation Farm. So those are the Kentucky bred stakes winners from last week. Malibu Moon currently ranks number two on the North American sire list. He has sired the winners of nearly $1,900,000 already this year, with four stakes winners, three of them graded stakes winners. That's why two-year-olds by Malibu Moon sold for $625,000, $550,000, and $300,000 at the Fasig Tipton Florida sale earlier this week. Temple City is by the highly successful Dinoformer out of Curriculum, a half-sister by Danzig to Malibu Moon. Temple City won graded stakes, ran in track record time, ran second in a grade one stakes, and he stands for $5,000 doing the foals, stands, and nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Now, the first foals by him are yearlings. Take a note of this. Temple City is eligible for Spendthrift's popular breed secure program. Give Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker a call. The number over there is 859-294-0030, and talk to them about the Breed Secure program. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Also eligible for the program are the stallions Arch Arts, Dominus, Line of David, Notional, Patio Prada, Tis Wonderful, Tis Way, Warriors Reward, and Wilburn. The number at Spendthrift Farm, again, 859-294-0030. And check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, Jackie, you want to do some announcements?
Well, we were talking about Macaulay's Feed, and let's see, this is the March 30th, that would be today, issue of the Blood Horse. Steve Haskins' Derby Dozen is 12, of course, headed for the Derby. And guess what? 8 of the 12 were raised on Macaulay Feed. That's got to mean something. It's My Lucky Day, Revolutionary, Vijack, Normandy Invasion Flashback, Palace Malice. I love that name. Shanghai Bobby, and Hear the Ghost. So those people know what they're doing. They're feeding the right feed. I want to say something, too, about we have a 28-year-old stallion, son of Secretariat, that we've taken, who was a rescue, who has no teeth.
Well, he's got some, but they're just not in very good shape.
There are a couple left. We get longevity from Macaulay's because you can't feed them sweet feed because they can't grind up the seeds. And for digestion, they said they lose 75% of what you feed them that way. Longevity is kind of like Cheerios. They're, you chew on them and they fall apart and the horse can swallow them right away. The saliva breaks down right away.
He loves them too.
He loves them. He slobbers and carries on and he's in good shape. So.
Yeah, he doesn't lose any, I'll tell you that.
No.
He eats them all.
He eats every one of them. Flair Nasal Strips is going to have a seminar at Keeneland, let's see, Tuesday, April 9th at 1:30 p.m. at the Keeneland Race Course in the Sales Pavilion. If you want to catch that, those things are great. They work. KTA and KTOB, Derby Trainers Dinner. Scheduled for Tuesday, April 30th at the Downtown Hyatt Regency in Louisville. Cocktails, dinner, singing my song. Derby prep, race presentations, interviews, cocktail hour at 6, dinner at 6:45. Jill Byrne is going, and Paul Rogers, that's who calls the Derby for HAS. Paul, good old Paul Rogers, been around forever. Anyway, tickets are $150. Contact Vicki Garcia. KTA, KTOB, 381-1414. As we were just mentioning, TOBA is having an ownership seminar April 19th at Keeneland Racecourse. And then May 31st and through June the 2nd, they're going to have a breeding clinic here in Lexington. Those are the two coming up fairly quickly seminars they're hosting here in town. Spring Bay, April 6th and 7th, horse trials. That's at Masterson Equestrian Trust is having those out at Masterson Station. They were going to have a work day last Sunday to kind of clean up after the winter. It rained like cats and dogs. So they may be asking for volunteers. You can go Google Masterson Equestrian Trust and see. I haven't seen when they're going to have another work day. The Race to Read is for Race for Education. This is for backstretch and, you know, that sort of thing, help. It's a 5K race at Midway. It's the 10th Race to Read, April the 20th at 8:30 in morning in memory of Carrie Kasner. To register, Race for Education is in a little stone house out on the left, out for Sales Road, just before you get to Cardinal Hill. So you can go out there. It's 1818 for Sales Road. So Nori Scheffel is having a horse show May 18th and 19th. Nori has Scheffel Ridge in Bourbon County, right off the Paris Georgetown Road. You can't miss it. And you can Google that too. She has a website. You already mentioned local farms get 10% off at Quill and Tack. And local means you carry it out. They don't have to ship it. If it's anything they have to ship, that's the definition of local. Don't have to ship. Horse Park today. Oh, this is the spring. This is the sign of spring. The Paul Frazier Memorial Combined Test and Dressage Show. That's cross country, jumping, and dressage. Now, next week, as I was saying, Spring Bay Horse Trials, next Saturday. And then the following week, Kentucky Mountain Horse Association and the Kentucky Spring Premier Saddlebreds. Things are starting to warm up and things are starting to happen. Let me see. Who is this? Oh, yeah, Scheffel Ridge. I was saying Nori Scheffel's having a man camp if you want to learn how to ride, fellas. June 17th or 21st, and then later on she does kids, and she's a lot of fun. It's fun to go to her various camps. Let's see. Michael Blum was in here. Of course, they got the Ferdinand Bowl in Louisville at the Ali Center. That's May 2nd, and their annual homecoming is May 5th, which means the Derby is May 4th. Wilderness Trace Pony Club combined Tester and Dressage show in Lancaster. That's because you go down straight toward Lancaster and you can't miss it. It's on the right. It's only 20 minutes south of Lexington. It's MSEDA sanctioned. It's May 18th, 2013. Horse Park, I said Spring Bay, didn't I? May 8th through the goal. The Horse Park has a series of really fancy uptown shows. I mean, they're big deal. First one is the Spring Horse Show, May 8th through the 12th. Oh, and wait a minute. What I really, really, really meant to mention is at the end of April. It's coming up soon. Oh, my God, it's Rolex. Big deal, Rolex. It's the last,
we'll have to announce it next week.
There it is. April 26, 27, and 28. You better get your tickets because they are going, as I understand. They're scooting. Now, do you want me to say anything about this? Okay. I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
Okay.
Stick a fork in me.
We'll read this real quick. This is a little short something from Joe Palmer. It's called Mike Hall's Rider. And this was written by Joe Palmer back in the 1940s. I suppose it isn't news that Mike Hall won a handicap some years ago at Latonia, but I just learned some of the circumstances. His rider was Nick Huff, who has at least a tie for the most successful record in steeplechasing. He rode in one jumping race and won it. Presently, he is jockey agent for Ted Atkinson, which beats sitting on a park bench in the rain, too. Mike Hall had run at Lexington a little earlier in a fairly cheap claiming race, and Mac Garner, who rode him, was supposed to handle him in the handicap as well. But Garner couldn't see it that way. "The hell with Mike Hall," he said. "He never gives me any good mounts anyway. Let him get somebody else." So Walter Taylor, who was training the horse, went into the jockey room. "Put somebody on this horse," he said. "I don't care who you put on. Put the worst jockey on the grounds on him if you want to." Well, whether for this reason or another, Huff came out of the horse, on the horse. His instructions had been simple. "You be in front," Taylor told him. "I'll be over in the infield. If you're going too fast, I'll wave you down. You watch for me." "I was trying to watch the infield and ride the race at the same time," Huff recalled it. "Finally, I saw him. He was running around with a watch in his hand. Then he fell over a hedge or something, and I said the devil with him and went on with the horse. Afterward, Healy gave me a check for $500. He said, 'I want to ask one favor of you. Show this to Mac Garner before you cash it.' He thought about it a minute, possibly recalling the golden days that vanished charming old Latonia. 'What a raggedy sort of horse that Mike Hall was,' he said. 'You're not going to put in the paper about the worst jock in the room, are you?' 'Why not?' he was asked. 'You've got Atkinson riding for you now.' 'I have it that,' said the man who went on with Mike Hall."
That's great.
That's a Joe Palmer.
Good old
All righty, let's see. Winners up from out of here since the last week's show. Tommy Short saddled a winner. So did Brian Kane. So did Jimmy Cargan. So did Tracy Young. And so did Tim Shue. And that brings the total for this month to 43 winners from the Thoroughbred Center. 43 winners in 29 days. That's a little better than a winner a day. And we've got two more days of racing, far as that goes, today and mañana.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see what goes on.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter to everyone. Boy, it's hard to believe it's that time of year. Is Easter late or early?
Early. Yes, early. Yeah. Everything's early this year. It even pushes up stuff in the fall.
Tomorrow is Easter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's March.
Yeah.
Usually Easter's in April.
Well, what can I say?
But it pushes up a lot of other things, horse things, in the fall because everything's...
Mm-hmm. Keeneland opens on the 5th.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to thank Dan Metzger for stopping by.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Talking about Kaywood, you know, gee whiz.
Good old Northern Kentucky guy.
Well, talking about Kaywood Ledford, what a nice...
He escaped from Northern Kentucky
nice
like
guy.
I did.
Dan did. Now, yes. Kaywood was from Harlan.
Yes.
Now, Kaywood, Kentucky. That's where he's from. Anyway, I shall.
That's a holler, you know.
That's a holler. Okay. Mary Jane, thank you. Thank you, Ressi, for helping us out and getting us through this. And
thanks, Michael and Doc.
Michael and Doc, and thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Again, happy trails.